I'd like to have you turn, if you care to a verse in Hebrews chapter 3, a very brief scripture, in addition to what we've already heard. And I might say that I've been led to consider these two verses in view of what our brother has already brought to us. Hebrews 3, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, and so on. As the Holy Spirit saith, today, if you will hear his voice. Now shall we go to Exodus chapter 8, and in the 10th verse, a brief statement here. And he said, tomorrow. And he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. Now I think almost any child here tonight can gather the little outline that I have, if you want to call it that. Because in Hebrews chapter 3, we have the Holy Spirit saying one word today. And then we have a word spoken by Pharaoh. And he said tomorrow. The words that were spoken in Hebrews chapter 3 were spoken by the Spirit of God. And the word that was spoken in Exodus chapter 8 and verse 10 was spoken by an enemy of God. And these two words, today and tomorrow, I might say, are the issues that decide whether those that hear the gospel are saved and go to heaven, and those that hear the gospel and turn it down will be lost eternally. I don't know how it is with you, but it's always been of a paramount interest to my observation to see how that almost every member of the human race is prone to procrastination. We always like to put off to the last minute things that should be done at that proper time. I think one of the most outstanding things that comes to our view has to be the time, at least it is in our state, when the deadline comes for getting your new automobile tag. Now, you know, everybody understands, of course, they've made some changes now in the dispensing of automobile tags, but there was a time when you used to go down and get your tags from the first of the year on to sometime in March, or maybe the deadline would be right around the 1st of April. They were very lenient. And you'd almost think that everybody in the whole city would have their new tags for the year. But the day before the deadline, they were lined up for blocks to get their tags. I never have been in one of those lines, but I have many friends that stood in those lines and waited and waited and waited to get what they knew they had to have. When it comes to mailing for Christmas, you'll see people who know that they're going to send Aunt Susie something that she never will use and possibly does not even want. And they'll wait till the very last gasp, and then they'll stagger down to the post office and put the thing through. And of course, Aunt Susie gets it sometime after the new year. It just seems to be human nature to put off just as long as one can things that need to be done at that particular moment. My own brother lost his natural teeth because he was afraid to go and see the dentist. I saw his teeth disappear one by one, and he said, I'd go, but he says, I hate to face the dentist. And yet after his teeth had rotted away and he finally had to go to the dentist, And the dentist had to put those pry forks in and pry those roots out. I thought to myself, he could have gone and avoided all of that discomfiture and saved his teeth, but he just put it off until it was too late. Now, I'm not going to take a great deal of time tonight, but what I would like to push and press as best I can, close of this meeting, is the utter folly of delay when it comes to settling where your soul is going to spend eternity. If there's anything in this world that every single man and woman and boy and girl ought to solve and settle, it's where he's going to spend eternity. Friends, if I could tell you that every single one of us would live to be 70 years of age, you could get saved when you were 69 years old and 11 months in 29 days, but I can't guarantee that. The Spirit of God says, today, if you will hear His voice, don't harden your heart. There's something about the gospel that makes my heart rejoice and sing when I hear it. And when I look into the faces of my friends that I'm going to meet in heaven in a coming day, I say, thank God for the gospel. But there's this other side of the gospel. When you listen to the gospel and you don't lay hold of the salvation that the gospel presents you, then it produces a hardening effect, and that's very serious. Friends, if you're sitting in this audience tonight and you haven't got it settled as to what your salvation relationship with God is, if you can't look back to a time and a place when you put your trust in the Lord Jesus, then you're playing exactly into the devil's hand. Now, you know this man Pharaoh told Moses, he says, tomorrow, but it never came for Pharaoh. He was overthrown with the enemies of God. I suppose that when Pharaoh looked into the face of dear old Moses, he thought, well, I'm not afraid of him. Who does he think he is, anyhow? But you see, in back of that humble face of Moses was the face of the eternal God, and in back of the words that came from the lips of Moses was the eternal Word of God, and Pharaoh was not rejecting Moses in the last analysis. He was rejecting God. My friends, if you walk out of the building, and you can walk out of the building with your heart closed to Christ and to the gospel and the word of life, you haven't rejected me. And you haven't rejected my brother. Because you have rejected the man who commissioned us to bring you the good news of the gospel. And it's good news. Now, when I think of how utterly unreasonable this kind of delay is, I have to think of it from at least two or three standpoints. First of all, the folly of delay. The folly of it. It's something that a person has got to settle while he's in his rational mind. I don't know of anything that's more discouraging than to be called up to a hospital to speak to someone who has been a total stranger to salvation all his life, and you're called up to the hospital to visit with them and to tell them this gospel good news, and when you get into the room, you discover a patient who has been filled so full of hypodermics and dope and sedation that it is absolutely impossible to talk to him coherently. I don't know of anything that tears my heart up more than to be called in at such a late hour. The utter folly of delay. And then again, the doom of delay. You know this man, Felix, he says, well, you know, when I've got a convenient time, he says, I'll call for you. But he says, it's not convenient right now. Does the devil ever give a sinner the green light when it's a convenient time to get saved? Never. Because God says today. God says today is a convenient time. All these things that Brother Milo has been bringing before us concerning the Lord Jesus And we see that salvation isn't a person, it's not a religion, it's in God's Son. And if you've got Christ, you've got life. And if you've got life, you've got Christ. And you can't have one without having the other. But you never get life unless you receive Christ. God is offering you not a sermon, but a person. And the gospel tells us that in Christ you have everything that you need for this life and the next. He that hath the Son hath life. And yet many people put these things out of their mind. I wish I could make people realize that it's something you've got to act on now. And then there are many who are almost persuaded to come. Like Agrippa, he says, well, almost you persuaded me. I just wonder how many people there are in eternity tonight that were almost saved. You know, I believe that's going to be one of the most terrible things to carry in an unconverted mind throughout the endless ages of eternity, is the fact that one was almost at the point of decision and for some reason did not climax it with his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that's got to be something that will drive a man insane. I believe that hell is the insane asylum of the universe. I had an uncle who died without God and without Christ in the Cook County Hospital. Now, I've come from a long line of drunkards and saloon keepers and the like of that, and my Uncle Denny was perhaps one of the worst of the lot. And when I went to see him in the county hospital, I said, Uncle Ben, you know, God would like to save you today. I'll never forget my uncle as he looked at me. He had a leg amputated and he was lying in this ward where there were somewhere over 30 men. And he says, I don't want anything to do, he says, with this Jesus at all. But I said, Uncle Ben, time's running out. And you can't afford to delay it anymore. And he just shut his jaws, said, well, I don't want to think about it now. Then I said something to him that just literally made him almost fly off that bed. I said, Uncle Ben, if you die without the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to look back from eternity and you're going to say that this has been the only heaven you've ever known. He told me that when he was lying there in his bed at night, he says, you can't believe, he says, what an infernal hell hole this room turns into. I said, what do you mean? He says, when it gets dark, he says, you don't know what goes on. He says, these men are crazy in here. You ought to hear the screaming in here. You ought to hear what I hear. And you ought to see what goes on. He says, I tell you, it's hell, it's hell, it's hell. But I says, Ben, if you die without Christ, you'll look back to this experience in the county hospital. It'll be the only heaven you've ever known. And I tell you, the old man almost came off of the bed. He had been a prize fighter in his day. He had been in the Navy and had been a boxer. And I says, Ben, you're getting to the end of the bout. I said, you've only got one round to go. I said, you could still score a knockout if you put your trust in Christ. And I'll tell you, folks, if there's anything that sends a person that tries to present the gospel and sends them away and broken down, it's got to be to look into a man's face that's going out into eternity and is never going to see the Savior as his own. And I left in his sin and he died in his sin as far as I know. Oh, the folly of delay. My friend, I'm going to ask you this moment, what do you expect you're going to gain if you take Pharaoh's advice and wait till tomorrow? I'm going to suggest this, that if you wait till tomorrow, it may be that the Spirit of God may deal with you tomorrow. He may not. God says, my Spirit shall not always strive with man. Tomorrow never came for the antediluvians when God shut the door and it was too late. One of these days you're going to run out of tomorrow. That's why the Spirit of God says, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. I want to say this, that tomorrow you may not even be interested. Tomorrow the Lord Jesus may come. Surely don't delay till tomorrow. And if you're one of these that have been dealt with in time past and you have not come to a point of decision, almost is not enough. To be almost persuaded is not enough. Down in the state of Texas for a Bible camp a couple of years ago, we had at the close of the camp, the different cabins have a kind of Olympics, a small imitation of the Olympics. And they had the two champion baseball teams locked in a crucial battle. I think one of the teams was called the Scorpions, and inevitably one of the Texas teams will call themselves Scorpions, and the others were called Panthers or something like that, or Wildcats. And it was the last game, and it was the last inning, and the last little Scorpion was standing up to bat. I can see him. He was the littlest guy on the team, and I could tell that the whole team was disappointed that they had to go out with the last little peanut standing up there with a bat in his hand. And the pitcher on the other team, he let fly with a ball. And this little kid, I could see his mistake, that when he swung, he closed his eyes first. And he'll never get anything in baseball. That's what my boy used to do. I could never understand why Robert could never hit the ball. I never saw a fellow swing better than he did, but he never hit anything. And then I saw one day that he closed his eyes first. And so the pitcher wound up and let fly with another pitch. And the boy closed his eyes and swung again, and he missed. I could see the pitcher licking his lips. The last strike and the game is over. And he let fly with a powerful pitch, and the little fellow swung again with all his might, and so help me, he hit the ball. And I can see that ball shooting out over the first baseman's head out into the field. And the whole team stood watching the ball go. And the little fellow was streaking the first base. And then the fielder began to run after the ball. And when he got the ball, he was throwing it into the second baseman. And then the little fellow was racing to third base. And all the kids were up yelling, go home! Go home! Go home! And he was coming home. And the ball was coming in from the shortstop to the catcher. And the catcher was right over the home plate. And the ball was coming in. And the little runner was coming in. And there was a great big pile of smoke and everything, and a lot of noise. And all of a sudden, the umpire yelled, you're out! And just like that, the game was over. And I'll never forget what one of those little fellas said as he was going back to his cabin. He says, just think, he almost hit a home run. And I've thought so many times, almost hit a home run. Almost come to Christ, but for some reason didn't. That's tragic. I was called to St. Francis Hospital one night, to see a man whose mother was a Christian. This fellow had rejected the gospel all his life. And I tried to read him the 53rd Psalm, or the 53rd of Isaiah. I tried to read him certain scriptures, and he turned his face to the wall. He wanted nothing to do with it. Didn't want a thing to do with it. He almost pulled the tubes out of his veins. So anxious was he to cut off the gospel. And so I closed my Bible and looked over at his mother, who was standing at the foot of the bed. I said, Mrs. Wilkerson, there's nothing that I can do. She says, won't you read him one more verse? Well, I said, I'll try. And I went to that lovely verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I read it to him. I says, Kenneth, God loves you. Christ died for you. You put your trust in him, it's settled. It's settled, Kenneth. Won't you trust him? He shook his head, no. Turned his face, if possible, closer to the wall, and I looked at his mother. I said, he won't listen. She says, won't you read one more verse? And so I went to another scripture, and I read the verse to him, and he just buried his face in the pillow and shook his head violently. And I turned to his mother. I said, he will not listen. And the woman never said a word. But I'll tell you, folks, when that old lady looked down at her boy, and I know I'll never see hell, but I looked in that mother's eyes, and I think I saw what hell's got to be like. All the love and all the despair concentrated in that woman's face, an old lady in her 70s. The boy was 45. You see those old wrinkled hands, yeah? She says, read him one more. And I read him one more scripture and he wouldn't listen. Closed my Bible and went out of that hospital and I went down the street. I said, Lord, if there's a poor creature in the world, it's got to be me. Lord, if there's a failure anywhere, it's got to be me. Lord, how could you let me come to a man like that and not be able to get through to him? He died as far as I know, outside of Christ. What are you going to do tonight? Is it going to be tomorrow? Or is it going to be today? I'm telling you something. Your choice with the Lord Jesus tonight is either going to be for or against him. And I don't care who you are and how greatly you may have sinned. I don't care how black your record may be. But if tonight, at 9:02, you put your trust in God's beloved Son, he will save you, and he'll blot out your iniquities as a thick cloud. He'll do that. But I'm not saying that he will do it tomorrow. I hope, if you don't settle it tonight, that there will be a tomorrow for you, but there's going to be a generation that tomorrow is never going to be theirs to know. How urgent it is to settle it tonight. One little thing comes to my mind as I come to a close this evening. When Brother Tom and I were having meetings down, I should be down from this part of the country, but in the northern part of the state of Kansas, around Stillwell, Kansas, where dear Brother Elmer Breckenridge lived for many years. I know a lot of you don't know him, but he was a wonderful man of God. And we went to a little restaurant that was right near his place. And we were told that the proprietor of this little restaurant was a Greek. His name was Charlie. And that Charlie was a Christian. And Elmer Breckenridge says, you ought to go and get you a little meal there. He said, it's a treat to meet old Charlie. So we went into this little restaurant. And Charlie had a jukebox in this restaurant. And it was the most unusual jukebox I've ever heard. It had only one song on it, and that was Heavenly Sunshine. You know, truck drivers would come in and put a nickel or a dime in that old jukebox. And it'd have a title on there that was altogether different from what came out, because it would come out Heavenly Sunshine every time. And when we were there, this truck driver shook his head and he went back and put another dime in and he got Heavenly Sunshine again. And then they kind of kidded him, and they say, well, Charlie, why is it that you've got nothing but heavenly sunshine? He was the world's worst singer, but he tried to sing it all the time. Well, he says, heavenly sunshine. He says, heaven, she's in my home. He says, heavenly sunshine, she's in my home. And that's why it was always heavenly sunshine. He came back about a year later, and we sat down at the stool, and the little waitress came over, asked us what we wanted. Oh, we'll take a cup of coffee. We wanted to see Charlie. He said, where's Charlie? Oh, she says, didn't you hear? No. Well, she says, you know, about 3 months ago, Charlie came in, as he always does, to open up the little restaurant. And when we came in, he was sitting on the stool with his head slumped over in the counter. And he was gone. He got one thing back. He got the country. He got the place. Heavenly sunshine. Or it's going to be eternal loss. It's going to be eternal despair. I tell you, it would be heavenly sunshine tonight if somebody would say, well, you know, I'm not going to delay it any longer. I'm going to settle it tonight. I'm going to trust Christ. I'm not going to leave this place until I get set. God says today, my friend, if God has been speaking to you tonight, don't leave till you get it settled today. Settle it tonight. Let the rest of the gang go if you stay here. Or trust Christ where you're sitting. Listen, as many as receive Him, to them give He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. God is willing to save you. Are you willing to let Him do it? God is offering you His Son. Will you receive Him? God is willing to save you at 9 o'clock. Will you trust Him at 9 o'clock? If you say, well, I don't quite understand it, then please say, and give us an opportunity, one of us, to open the Word of God and show you how that you can know your sins forgiven. I just had a few meetings in Wichita, just 4 nights. And at the close of the first meeting on Monday night, I thought it was a dreadful time, Labor Day. Here comes a young woman, and she said, I want to talk to you. She said, I went up in David Wilkerson's campaign, she said, and I thought I got saved. She said, and I felt wonderful for 2 weeks, but she said, it's left me. Pat Boone came to Wichita, and I went forward, and I was baptized in the fountain. That's Century 2. And she says, you know, it only lasted about 10 days, and it left. She says, what's wrong? Oh, I said, Lee, did you get to Christ? She says, I don't think I did. I said, what did you get? She says, I don't know what I got. All I know is that I felt better. Oh, but I said, Lee, you see, you just got so far, you didn't get to the Lord Jesus. And until you get to Him, Satan will try to give you some substitute. Will you not come to Him tonight? And that dear girl, oh, she was anxious to be saved. She settled it tonight. How about you? May God grant that you settle it tonight. And you'll sing heavenly sunshine for the rest of your life and for all eternity.
Take the hymn book and look at number 72. Number 72. Why would you do without Him? I could not do without Him. Jesus is more to me than all the richest cherished gifts of earth could ever be. The more I find Him precious, and the more I find Him true, the more I long for you to find what He can be to you.
If we really understand that Christ is soon coming back, and every measure of pseudo-faith, that is, a false confidence, every bit of religion that does not include the Lord Jesus as a personal Savior and Lord, is going to be exposed. And those who have had an opportunity to be saved and yet would not receive the truth, we're told, are all going to be damned. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Oh, my friend tonight, there was a time when folks thought Noah had lost his mind. You see, he was building a boat. And up to that time, there'd never fallen a drop of rain from the sky. Until one day, 1 hour, 1 minute, 1 second, the rain started. But you see, God had closed the doors too late for anybody but Noah and his family, because they're the only ones that came in the ark. Christ is the ark. He went to Calvary. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. My sins and your sins were laid on him. And he's pleading with you tonight. God says, I'm satisfied with the death of my son. He's turning to you tonight saying, are you satisfied with his death? And will you put your confidence and trust from your heart in him and his shed blood for your eternal salvation? Oh, a lot of folks are trusting in religion. They're trusting in water baptism. They're trusting in membership. They're trusting in trying to live a good moral life. But I'll tell you, nothing like that will save. God says not the works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Oh, dear friends and I, simply and only the Lord Jesus for salvation. Anything else will not bring about salvation. Why would you do without him? As we sing this next verse, won't you just agree with God that you're a hell-deserving, lost, condemned, ruined sinner? Or you may not be a moral reprobate in the gutter. That may be true. And I would doubt that anyone here is. But I'll tell you, just one sin keeps you out of heaven. Just one. And the scripture says, if you keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, you're guilty of all. Shall we sing the next verse together? And they would delight to be counseling with you about salvation or about your Christian life in any way that you need some counsel. I'm sure that they're going to be available. Besides that, there are many other brethren here who are quite competent and able to give help. So those of you brothers who would like, who are exercised about it, be sure and have your Bibles ready. If there are those who need some counsel or some help after the meeting, be sure and let them know. We're here simply and only to be a help, that you might come to Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. And if you're a Christian and yet you need some help, I'm sure that someone will be able to help you with the Word of God.